speak slow?
Improve the downtown. I was okay with that. But.
Deeper than that.
Yeah, the bonding, yeah.
Okay.
$30 million bond, it's gotta come from somebody's blood.
Well, it's a 14.
Okay, everybody ready? We're gonna call the meeting to order. Got his attention. Oh, sorry, I didn't think the microphone would do that. Okay, roll call.
Member Griffin?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Hunter? Member Paulson?
Here.
Member Sherr? Member Stock?
Here.
Member White?
Here.
Four members.
And so with four people, I guess we have a quorum. And Pledge of Allegiance is next.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item C, approval of minutes of past meetings of the Airport Authority. Do the members have any questions or comments?
I do. Looking at the minutes from our last meeting, I don't think they're detailed enough, and I know we have the video, but I don't think they're detailed enough to really put across what my concerns and intentions were with my motion, nor with Guy's friendly amendment regarding the ACIP funds. And so I just wanted to make a clarification that the funds for the gate issue are spent strictly on the gates, and that Guy's friendly amendment bringing in the ACIP funding and using the gate money as matching also relates strictly to gate work.
And last sentence. That's you.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And again, there's no reference to Guy's comments about the ACIP matching fund stuff. So I just wanted to clarify that that's what the intention of the motion and the friendly amendment were about. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So with that clarification, why don't you make a motion to approve the minutes.
And okay, so I move that we approve the minutes from last month's meeting, and to reflect the clarification.
I second the motion.
Okay, we've had a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? There are none. Okay. Vote passed for the clarification and final report of the minutes of the past meeting.
Just what? FYI, in the future, the minutes are not going to reflect any detail. They're just going to have a motion and whether it carried or not.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is a new directive, lots of budget issues, and we're going to include audio and video and on the website, so that's going to be the detail.
Okay.
Okay, item D, modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process the agenda items, which I'm going to do at this time. The two public hearings are going to be swapping positions. Number one now becomes number two, and number two now becomes number one. Item E, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Consent agenda. We have none. Okay. G, public hearings. The discussion and possible action to approve the second reading of the adoption of a $10 a year renewal fee for the gate access cards pursuant to CCMC 19.02.020.070, which permits the authority to adopt fees for gate card control to cover costs of operation. Any discussion?
No discussion.
No.
Public comments? Being how it is, how there is none, we'll bring it to a vote. Who would like to make a motion for this?
I make a motion that we adopt a $10 a year renewal fee for gate access cards.
I second the motion.
Okay. All right, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Being as how there is no opposal, the motion has passed.
If I could interrupt for a moment, I'm Airport Authority Member Griffin. My employer is with Specline Corporation, indirectly associated with the Cactus Air Force. Thereby, I'd like to recuse myself from any negotiations now or in the future on this particular subject, and I'll take a seat in the audience. Thank you.
Okay, item two, discussion and possible action regarding the request by Cactus Air Force to lease airport land for the construction of the Wings and Wheels Museum. Determine proposed use and proceed with appraisal, recovery, appraisal, and recovery cost of the appraisal. Any council board members have anything to say?
Steve?
No, I'll get to him in a sec. I'm just asking these guys if they want to say anything.
I don't have anything yet, no.
I don't think yet until
we're here.
All right.
It looks like Mr. Brune is the representative.
Yep.
Your turn.
Rick Clemens and his wife Veronica, because of the location of lot 202, they would like to lease that on a standard lease for to pay directly to the airport and the city without any sublease, direct as a future home for the Cactus Air Force Wings and Wheels Museum also.
Okay.
So because of the parking lot, the location, I know we had talked about the one over here by the DOT. It just wasn't working out, so this looks more viable, and Rick would like to start a lease on it.
I agree, and I'd like to welcome you aboard. Public comments? Anybody have anything to say? Mr. Takis, do you have any comments on this matter?
Yeah, I'll just add the process, which I outlined in the briefing memo, is that we first have to obtain an appraisal on the property, and then at a future meeting, the authority would come together and adopt a resolution offering it for lease through a public bid process with sealed bids, and then you would go forward with it. So the first step really is the appraisal, and I know the airport manager has done a little bit of research on it. We contacted the city. The city maintains an approved list of appraisers, which statutes require them to maintain such a list, and so I think Tim followed up on that. The only related issue is the costs of the appraisal are sometimes significant, and so in the past, we've required the successful bidder on the property, which could well be Cactus, because it sounds like they may have a greater interest in doing this than we've heard from others. But we would ask them to reimburse us for the appraisal. We can't have them go out and get the appraisal. We are required to get the appraisal, but we can ask them to reimburse us. And I would just hasten to mention, we voted to do that once before when we put some property out to lease in the center of the triangle, and then nobody came to bid on it, so we had to eat that one. So, I mean, that could happen here, too, but, you know, given the interest that the folks at Cactus have expressed, I think we should look at it in a more positive light that this will actually come to fruition. So that's the process. So what you would decide tonight is whether or not to go forward to obtain the appraisal so that you can get to the next step, which is adopt a resolution offering it for lease.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to that next step, I've come up with a couple of ideas in terms of the lease terms that may help us avoid some of the problems we've run into in the past where we've had a lease out there and it was restricted to certain uses. And the people came in and said, hey, look, I'd love to use this hangar, but I'd like to actually run like an FBO or something from it, and the lease doesn't allow it. This time, we're going to think ahead of the box, and so when we put it out to lease, we'll make sure that those capabilities are built in, or they're like conditionally built in. Something where I was thinking conditionally built in might be better because the appraisal might come in more in line with what Cactus really intends to do there. But they would have the flexibility that if that didn't come, if they went ahead and rented it, used it for that, you know, that purpose, and then somewhere down the line there was a, you know, a better purpose for it, they might have the flexibility to still do it because they'll have made a significant investment in the property. We want them to get the benefit of the investment. But having said all that, the only action that's appropriate right now is to decide whether or not you want us to obtain the appraisal so we can get to the next step. And I'll turn it over to Tim for the information that he got on the appraisal.
I received a list of appraisers today. Two are located here in Carson City, both at the same address, so the same company. The rest are either in Reno Sparks or and one is in Gardnerville. I talked to a Mr. Lynn C. Norberg here on College Parkway, and he advised me that it would take somewhere in the vicinity of 45 to 60 days to do the appraisal and at a cost of about $4,000. And so I basically put him on hold, and depending on the outcome of tonight's vote.
He's a good appraiser, and he's done work for us before. And to me, that sounds like a pretty reasonable price because I know we paid more for that, more than that, when we did the center of the triangle. Admittedly, it was a bigger area, but still we paid more.
I was expecting a higher price.
I was
$4,000.
I'm surprised. That's not bad.
Any more comments from anybody?
I do have several questions. I'm wondering, what does our master plan call for on this particular block, 202?
I don't think it shows anything. It just shows it as vacant. You know, the master plan showed development on the interior of the triangle and along the taxiways. Mm-hmm. As far as I can recall, I don't think the master plan shows what we would use it for. I mean, it is, the master plan does show it as being...
This right here?
Yeah.
This would be considered the master plan?
Is that the ALP?
Yes,
yeah.
ALP,
okay.
Which is part of the master
plan. Part of the master plan, the airport layout plan. And what it shows is it just shows it as vacant property that is leasable.
Okay.
Now, we did do some work a little while back on trying to develop... kind of a small master plan for the entrance to the airport. But we really didn't get very far down the path. What happened is at one point we thought, okay, well, why don't we put it, the entrance to the airport out to bid and see what people can come in with. And unfortunately, we only got one bid in plans, and that was from, I think, Johnny Ribeiro. And they came in with plans that exceeded the area that we had offered them, or that we were putting out to lease, and so we had to reject their bid because they wanted to take property from existing tenants mm-hmm. to make their overall plan go through, and they didn't have the consent of the other tenants. And so at that point we realized, okay, this is not working because the plan that came in is something that didn't work and it wasn't what we envisioned. And so then we started looking at, and this was largely led by Collie Hutter, we started looking at other airports that have attractive entrances. But we really focused mostly on the terminal building and what would be an attractive multi-use type terminal building. So that planning didn't really extend out there. So I guess the short answer to your question is, I don't know, at least in my history with the airport, which is about 20 years now, I don't know that we've ever planned anything out there.
Well, and so I know from attending the airport meetings before I was on this board, that there has been some talk that we need to update the master plan. Mm-hmm. There has been some talk, and I definitely agree that a better terminal is needed. One of the reasons I wanted to get on this board was to help work with creating that better terminal, better infrastructure here at the front of the airport, so that it's attractive to these other companies. And so I would be reluctant to use this, what I would consider prime frontage, at this point until we really know how we want to recreate the front of the airport. So a couple of questions.
Okay.
Is Cactus Air Force in a time crunch to get built? Can we split this? Do you need the whole 2.5 acres? Can you take half of it and leave the rest for something for us to redevelop? Again, I would just be very reluctant to obligate this full 2.5 acres until we really know what our redevelopment ideas are for the front of the airport.
To actually split it,
yeah.
we didn't discuss that. So I would have to ask Rick, but I'm sure he would negotiate, or he would do something. But he really liked that location because
yeah.
It is show center location yeah. location. So and it was available, so that's a week. But I'm sure he would work with the city on that.
And so you guys on a timeline crunch?
There is a, we are trying to get a building up because we do have, Rick has a lot of assets out in the weather. He's got a hangar going up in Silver Springs right now. And he wanted to make a purchase, and then he wanted to get the other one over there rolling with the museum. But the location wasn't accommodating with the College Boulevard, with the DOT, and that turnout with the parking lot and all that. It was just a little bit too complicated. But with this lot here, it looked more viable. So that's what flagged it.
I think that was 1.25 acres down there.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
So certainly if we could work something out where we split this lot, and however that all worked out, that would probably be okay.
Yes, because I know that the building with that artist rendition that we had brought in was scaled to that 1.4 at that side, so I'm sure if that was the building that they were still going to have manufactured, that it would accommodate that.
Okay.
When we get an appraisal, the appraisal comes back to us on a lease rate per square foot. So if we went and got the appraisal for the entire area, you could still decide, because you aren't deciding to actually put it out to lease yet, you're just taking that preparatory step.
Right.
You could still decide at that future meeting, we're only willing to offer this much for lease because we want to save maybe the part closest to the entrance of the runway. closest to the entrance driveway, or whatever else ideas you guys have. So I'm thinking that might be a reason to go forward anyway, because you'll have that flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are legitimate concerns you've raised, but I hadn't really thought about that.
And when we start figuring out what we want to do with this remodel to the front, we need to know what that piece of property is worth anyway. Would
yeah.
you think?
Yes.
Okay.
What would be critical is when we had talked with Tim that we maintain the taxiway entrance for aircraft, because our intentions are to have a hangar there.
Mm-hmm.
So any of the back property here on the probably would not be an issue, except we would need this taxiway right here in order to bring aircraft in and out, and that understanding was a designated taxiway.
Show me where that was.
Just a minute. I believe he has a picture of that.
This
is perfect. Right in here.
Okay.
So that's where the taxiway is going to be.
Gotcha.
It stops right there.
Okay.
When we get done with phase 2B, it'll be striped all the way down.
So I have a question about that.
We'll get to that later when I talk.
I just have a question about the wingspan of his airplane, if they will be able to fit in there.
Well,
through, that, through that little taxiway.
Yes.
We talked about that earlier, and I think that...
How wide is it?
They'll have to tow it, but, they'll be able to make it fit.
You won't have to impinge on that stinky individual's ramp space there in order to get your planes in. I just wanted to make
sure. My understanding was that ramp space was actually a taxiway, mm-hmm. where the planes are moored down.
Currently parked.
Where they're tied down at this time.
Yeah.
My understanding was that was actually a taxiway.
That's actually a taxi lane, but that is controlled by Weaver Aircraft.
Okay.
Because that's the one that is. So what you're talking about is not going to be a factor because the distance is about 79 feet
down.
And the maximum wingspan.
This is
Del Arrow
right here.
Yes.
And here's the taxi lane that's going to be going down. And this is College Parkway down
this
here.
This is the corner of their hangar.
So is this going to impinge on Weaver's? That's the question I have.
No, Weaver's over here. So the taxi lane's
okay.
Wide enough.
How wide is it?
We moved the striping around so that there should be 79 feet between tie downs.
Okay.
All right, so it's a tight fit for a large airplane if it has a big wingspan, but it is wider than what he said they had,
okay.
Which was 70-foot wingspan.
Yeah. All right, good. No problem here.
Just for the record, the area that was discussed that is not going to be picked up on this recording because pointing to things doesn't relate well, is the area just south of the south ramp area and slightly west of the El Aero building. And then the area that you referred to where the Weaver has some tie-downs, it looks like tie-down area, but technically it's not. The tie-down areas that we have on the airport are areas that are owned and controlled by the airport, and what we lease to the tenant is just the right to use the tie-downs. With respect to that section of Weaver's property, he's actually paying a per square foot rate and leasing that area from us. As a result, we don't pay for the maintenance on that pavement. He would have to pay for it if he wanted to have it redone. And also, it means that we cannot designate a taxi lane across that area. Now, having said that, I do know that when George Byard leased the parcel right behind him, that lease includes a right of access across that accessway. So as between those two guys, they could get into a debate as to whether that's a taxi lane or not. But for our purposes, I don't think we can rely on that as a taxi lane. But as Jim pointed out, you don't have to worry about that because immediately to the east of that is a 79-foot wide swath that we have designated for a taxi lane. And that taxi lane will connect to this parcel 202. And it sounds like that should satisfy the needs that Cactus has and the questions you were asking about the width and the size of their aircraft.
Okay.
Now, there is one thing. There's a utility pedestal, and there might be some other utility issues, but those are things that we can investigate further and find solutions for.
After the appraisal.
Right.
Okay.
Any more questions from the public and or the board members?
I have no questions.
Before you take your vote, let me just note for the record that we currently have three members sitting on the panel, and under advice from the district attorney and actually advice from the deputy attorney general in charge of open meeting laws, the correct application of the statute is that we have a seven-member board, therefore four members make a quorum. If one of those four members abstain, as Member Griffin did, because he's required to, then NRS 281A.420 says that our quorum is automatically adjusted down by one person, and therefore the three of you constitute a quorum and have sufficient ability to vote. And then a majority vote of you three will carry the action. So I just want to make that clear for the record because we don't want someone to be looking at the record of this meeting and thinking that, hey, you only had three guys, you didn't have the right to vote. In fact, you do. So there you go.
Okay, if there's no further comments from anybody,
Does somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move we direct staff to obtain an appraisal on lot 202 with full FBO use of the leased area and report back with the appraisal.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? There are no opposed. The motion has passed 3-0.
Great. And then in terms of reimbursement for the appraisal, I didn't include that in the draft motion, but that's something you can decide after you get the appraisal because, I mean, nobody's going to reimburse you until you make an offer to them and they come in to bid on it. Okay. So when we get to that next level, I will probably renew that issue so that you can address that.
If Cactus decides to walk away, and somebody else comes in, or somebody else comes in with a higher bid, will we then expect them to pay the appraisal fee?
Well, that's the action I'm going to recommend that you do when you adopt the resolution. The resolution will say, okay, now we're going to put it out to bid. Here's the portion we're putting out to bid, you know, following Member White's, you know, discussion about, hey, it might not be the whole piece, it might be part of it. Here's the part we're putting out to bid. Here are the terms on which we're going to put it out to bid. And at that time, I will recommend to you that you state that the successful bidder reimbursed the authority for the cost of the appraisal. And then the statute says it's not just the highest bidder, it's the highest responsible bidder. So if you had somebody who came in who proposed like a use that was incompatible with the airport, I want to build a tire burning operation or something out there, you could reject that bid even though the price that the person offers is higher than Cactus or somebody else. Well, actually, you'd probably reject that bid because it doesn't comply with the bid terms. Because the bid terms are going to say it has to have some relationship to aviation. At least I think you will say that.
Maybe he's burning airplane tires.
Burning airplane tires, yeah. Yeah, and they came back with that. Then you're right. And it would meet our criteria, but he would still reject it as not the highest responsible bid.
It would be a tough sell.
No, I think an aviation museum would be an attractive, compatible use. I mean, it's entirely possible that somebody will come back and say, hey, I want to put an Outback Steakhouse there. And then you might have a real debate because, you know, you might think that that would be a really nice thing and complimentary to the airport too. I don't know. Or some other kind of food or retail or something like that. But even if that occurred, you could still award it to the use that you thought was most compatible as part of your decision. You're not strictly bound to the highest number that you're given. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. On to the next report, which is item J, legal counsel report.
I think we might have skipped something.
I was in a hurry to get this meeting over.
Yeah.
Airport engineers report.
I handed out my report, emailed it to you. Basically, we got three projects that are underway. Main apron reconstruction phase one, main apron reconstruction phase two, and then we have phase three. The phase three plans and specifications have been sent to the FAA to get review and approval by them to allow us to advertise the project for bids. And we're on track to have a bid opening in early April, and then the next step from that would be to submit a construction grant application based on the lowest responsive bid. So That's just the way it works. As far as phase one and phase two go, they're under construction, but they're in a winter shutdown right now because we don't want them working in bad weather. Phase one's probably got maybe 3 to 5 days left, if that. I mean, they got such minor work left, it's really finished, but they still have to fog seal the pavement and then provide striping. And then I think there's a couple of punch list items that we're going to ask them to do. And then phase two, it's actually split into two separate sub-phases, 2A and 2B. I gave you an exhibit in here. And 2A is in the same condition as phase one is, where everything's done except we're going to fog seal the pavement and then stripe it. But phase 2B is yet to be constructed, and we don't want them taking that pavement up when there's potential bad weather. So I don't anticipate those projects starting up till maybe April at the earliest, and could be as late as May. So anyway, I gave you financial summaries for the projects, and they're in there if you're interested. Basically, there's been no action on these projects since November, so nothing really has changed much. So, with that, any questions?
I do. As usual.
No surprise.
I have not been privy to the detailed bids on this, and so I'm curious, is all these phases under a single bid, or have they come, is each phase a total separate job?
Each phase is a total separate job.
Okay, so the reason I ask that is, in their bid, how did they deal with the cost for mobilization and demobilization? Are we being charged multiple times to bring equipment here and take it away for each job?
No, that's correct. It is.
So
it's separate. But consider it this way. Granite Construction, one phase one, okay? And there is a mobilization and demobilization bid item, which is a lump sum.
Right.
Okay. And so in phase two, since they've already mobilized, they got a little, they sharpened their pencil and said, hey, we already have our equipment there. So they were able to bid that lower than their competitors. So we get a bit of a savings. Granite ended up winning the second phase also.
Okay, because my concern is they still have equipment sitting over here, and they certainly have not demobilized, and I don't want to pay them demobilize when they haven't.
They have not been paid in full.
Now, okay.
These summaries make it look that way, and basically where I say amount earned or spent, those are obligated amounts. In reality, we're still holding 10% retention on them.
Okay.
Because the FAA withholds 10% retention on the sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And so until the project's closed out entirely, the FAA won't pay the airport. So in turn, we don't pay the contractor the full 100%. We only pay them 90% until the FAA closes out the project.
Okay. And yeah, I actually endorse what they're doing there, so because that can create a savings for everybody. I just want to make sure we're not paying them to demobilize when they didn't.
No, we're not.
Okay.
In fact, the way we set up our mobilization, demobilization bid item is the first pay request, we allow them to ask for 35% of their bid amount.
Okay.
Second pay request, they can ask for another 35%, which is 70, and then they can ask for the final 30 at the end of the job. So on that particular bid item, we're holding 30%.
Okay. That'll work.
Great.
And is it incumbent upon to pay that 30%, or do we wait for the FAA to come through the grant before we pay it?
Well, we have a grant, but and part of the project is that staging area that they're using right now. In fact, that kind of concerned me when I found out Cactus Air Force wants to lease that property. It's like, oh no, there goes my staging area.
But you can look at this as something somewhat of like a construction loan, where you perform so much of a job, then you bill it. We get the bill. We submit the outlay to draw it down. I won't write the check until we get the money in the bank from the FAA.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anything else?
That's it.
No questions.
Okay. I didn't want to exclude you, so it's the airport manager's report.
I really have nothing to say other than, because of the precarious nature of the construction, we are not going to have an open house, but we are looking into possibly putting on an aviation day at the Sterling Hangar and at the on the east side of the ramp. EAA is on board, Cactus is on board. We're looking at for other participants to do this, and so we hope to have something by the end of June set up. So, but that, other than that, I have nothing else.
We can't move the open house to another date to accommodate the construction? That's really a popular
The problem deal. We have is doing it later in the year. The summer winds is a problem. September is a great month. However, we've run competition with the air races, South Lake Tahoe, Truckee, and Minden's air shows.
Street vibrations.
Street vibrations and a lot of other things. When we do it on the second Saturday of June, the only competition we have is to taste downtown, and actually we found that they complement each other because they don't start till later in the day. We normally shut down about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. So we found that June is really the best month for us.
This little area, instead of this area, will be used for the aviation day.
Okay.
There's enough room. Okay.
Is it operative, changing the name to an aviation day as opposed to an open house? Is there something unique to that change?
No, I just thought that an aviation day might be something we can use to, hopefully we can coordinate with some of the schools to bring kids in, to have them do learning stations at the Sterling Hangar, and it's all about getting kids involved with aviation. I am not going to be in charge of this. We hope that Dennis Gortal will take the reins, and he can name it whatever he wants to.
That's right.
And while we're bringing that up, just so everybody knows, we're looking for assistance for Dennis to make this proceed as easy as possible. So anybody knows any volunteers that want to coordinate food, entertainment, and such like, are welcome to speak up. Dennis works for me, so you can get a hold of Tim or me, and we'll go from there with it. Okay, now I can go back to the legal counsel's report.
I have two quick things. One is, at the request of the county assessor, Dave Dolly, Tim and I attended the Board of Equalization hearing on Tuesday morning, I guess it was, of this week. They had an issue on their agenda where Frank Hublow was challenging his assessment on his condo ownership hangar. His argument was that because the lease that we gave out is only 50 years long, that they should be depreciating it and reducing his taxes to zero at the end of the lease. And that's not the way the law works, but we did explain to Dave Dolly how our leases work, you know, and we didn't really have a dog in the fight, but we were interested in the outcome because had the Board of Equalization accepted Frank's argument, our property tax revenue would have dived significantly, but it also leads to a ridiculous kind of result, because just because you lease something doesn't mean at the end of the lease it no longer has value. I mean, if you took that philosophy and applied it to the buildings around town, this whole town would be grossly depressed in terms of value. But that was Frank's argument. And so the only funny part was they may have misunderstood why we were there, and they may have thought that that Tim was Frank and I was his lawyer, because they kept asking, well, aren't the appellants going to come up and talk? And the DA said, well, no, they're just here to answer questions. And I'm like looking at him and go, we're not the appellants. We're from the airport. But that was our entertainment for the morning. But they voted, they followed Dave Dolly's recommendation. They voted Frank's appeal of his tax bill. They voted it down. So I think everything is on the status quo. The other item is, I just want to give you a heads up about Jim Wickersham at Shade Tree Aviation. You know, you got to love the guy. He's been on our airport now for about, I don't know, 20 years or so, and he finally woke up and realized that his lease expires in 2 years, and or 3 years. And all these years, I don't think anybody's kept it a secret from him that his lease expires, and when it expires, it's over. There is no extension of leases the way the law was changed. But when he called both Tim and I'm guessing that he gave Tim the same earful that he gave me, it was kind of like we were doing something underhanded to him because his lease was going to end. And I've spent some time with his lawyer, who is a pretty sharp guy, and I think is explaining to Jim that in August of 2017, his lease ends. Now, at that point, you guys will have the ability, the authority, and hopefully some of you guys will still be on it, in 2017, we'll have the ability to put the area back out for lease, but you don't have to, or find a different use for it. And if we get near 2017 and we still have this terminal building and we still don't have any place to park our vehicles, you may well decide you don't want to put it back out to lease. You want to use that hangar to store our snow plows and equipment and do our other stuff. So that issue is out there. I want to give you a heads up because that issue is out there bubbling up. Jim Wickersham may approach you and give you his side of the story, and that's absolutely fine. Everybody should be telling you everything that they know. You know, you guys are decision makers. You should get everybody's story. But I just wanted to give you at least what I took out of the conversation. And so that's all I have to report.
I have a question about that. There have been some inquiries into other people taking over his hangar, or his basically selling his business or selling the operation. But if that happens, anybody that takes it over, will they only have 3 years left?
Yeah. The lease expires when it expires. And he certainly knew that when he took the lease. His argument to me was, he said, well, Neil Weaver was the chairman of the Airport Authority at the time. He told me I could extend it. Well, when he took over that lease from Malcolm Redwine, which was, I don't know, it was in the 90s or maybe early 2000s, I don't remember when it was, back then we were able to extend leases, and we did extend leases, but that was all before 2005 when the legislature dramatically changed the law, not just for airports, but for all cities and counties. And they required this public auction process and the appraisal process. And frankly, it has tied our hands in places like here at the airport. You know, the cities and counties, they take it in stride because I guess they're big enough, it doesn't matter to us. We know the people that operate the businesses. To the extent we've got a healthy business on the airport, we like to keep it. So, you know, these kinds of things do hamper things. I don't know that if Mr. Wickersham's business is a healthy business. I really don't know much about it. But yeah, it's...
So that lease was signed before the legislature took action?
No, that lease was actually signed in 1981. And it's... But it's subject, you know, it was signed in 1981, and the law that changed in 2005 said you can't lease, and both the Attorney General and the District Attorney have opined to us, and that means you cannot modify a lease after that change in law in a way that's inconsistent with that law.
Even though he was grandfathered?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying he's grandfathered. He gets to stay there for the full term of his lease, even if his original lease didn't meet that. But you can't extend his lease or modify his lease after 2005 because that would violate that statute.
Could he throw the airport board into a legal lawsuit and cost us money to defend something like that? Or does that 2005 preclude something like that?
Well, no, anybody can sue for anything. And certainly he could file a lawsuit. I personally think that would be a fairly easy lawsuit for us to defend. It would be a pretty frivolous lawsuit. I don't think he'd get very far. And I say that because I've gotten such a clear statement from both the DA's office and the Attorney General's office on the interpretation of that statute. You know, his real remedy would be to change the statute, you know, go get the statute changed. But I don't see that happening. I had that discussion with his lawyer, and we both came to the conclusion, if you change the statute, now you're changing it for all the cities and counties. You know, that's a huge undertaking. You know, and the whole reason they put those statutes in place was we were during the legislative session in 2005, and there was a bunch of inside, smoke-filled, backroom deals in Las Vegas involving airport property. And they were elected officials who were getting sweetheart deals and then rolling the property over. And the legislature, they were not state legislature elected officials, they were local county officials. And the legislature just went nuts about it. You know, they were incensed, and it was all over the front page of the Las Vegas newspapers, and the legislators, if they didn't go nuts, they felt like they still had to deal with it. And so their response is, okay, boys, from now on, everything is on the up and up. Everything's got to be publicly noticed, public auction, appraised value. And at the time they did it, we had to have two independent appraisals. The following session in 2007, we got that changed so that it was only one appraisal for us on airports. Now, there is another section of law that Tim, you know, has brought to my attention, which was changed in 2011, that creates a special provision for airports. And, you know, and what it would do is it would eliminate the public auction portion. We'd still have to have the appraisal, but we wouldn't have to go to public auction. I have run that by the DA's office. He ran it by in 2011 when it happened. And their belief at the time, you know, and this could change, but their belief at the time is they are subject to the public auction requirement. The land is actually owned by Carson City, not the Airport Authority. Anytime we lease, we have to, the Chapter 844, which created the Airport Authority, said we also have to get their approval. As a result, their analysis is, you guys got to use the same thing we have to use, independent of what that 2011 statute says. But like I said,
So the same thing that will happen to Cactus Air Force, the new tenant or the same tenant at a readjusted fee has to pay the appraisal price?
I'm sorry.
If Jim Wickersham was the high bidder on releasing that property.
Oh, yeah.
Then he'd have to pay the appraisal?
Correct, of the correct. Yeah, and I outlined that to him. I said, one potential outcome is we get to the end of your lease, and the Airport Authority says, yes, we do want to put it out to lease, and then you could be the successful bidder. Although, as his lawyer pointed out, when you do that appraisal, it'll be an appraisal of a property with a structure. It's not going to be bare ground like out here or any of those other places where the numbers are pretty small because it's bare ground. It'll be an appraisal that includes a piece, you know, a structure on it.
Oops.
Yeah, and so, you know, and of course his lawyer said, well, then we're really screwed because now I got to pay again for the building that I had. And, of course, my response is, well, you never really had the building. You had a lease on the building, and you knew exactly what the term was. You came in with your eyes wide open. One of the reasons why we do the 50-year leases here, one reason is because it's the maximum length of a lease that you can do under the statute. But the other reason is because when you lease somebody a bare piece of ground, you want to give them plenty of time so they can amortize their investment. I mean, if they're going to go out and spend, you know, $1 million, $2 million, who knows what, like, Jet Ranch spent, I don't know, like $6 or $7 million, some ridiculous amount of millions on that. You want to give them a long enough period so they can fully realize the value of their investment. Now, at the end of that 50 years, that stuff reverts to us. But, you know, if you can give them 50 years, that's a pretty good time frame. Most of us don't plan to live, you know, for 50 more years.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
So I certainly wouldn't argue with the district attorney or the attorney general, but changing those leases in that manner is simply wrong. That being said, can we, by policy, create a situation where we give priority to a current leaseholder when their lease comes due? Create a scoring system of some manner that gives the edge to the current leaseholder if they want to release.
Well, it is the highest responsible bidder, and you can put conditions on, you know, the bid so that the responsibility follows the use that you want. I think I would probably characterize it a little differently. You know, if that's really the ideal use that you want out of there and you leased it and said this is the use you need to have, that probably would give him an advantage and make it easier for him to do it. But here's the bottom line. The amount that we lease it for has to be at least the minimum appraisal price. And so he's not going to be happy with that anyway. I mean, if the hangar ends up being a liability instead of an asset because it's old and it's fallen down, maybe that changes things. You know, there was one point where we thought the Sterling Air Hangar was a liability only because one of the prior owners before Steve Lewis got into it, the prior owner was an absentee owner, and he didn't do any maintenance on it. He was in New York. It was this lawyer in New York, Sam Glass. And he, you know, he kept hiring people to run little FBO operations out of it. They had no stake in keeping the building up. Mm-hmm. So it was starting to go down. We were thinking, God, if it continues along this path, it's going to be a liability. Now, fortunately, Steve Lewis picked it up from Sam Glass, and then Steve Lewis put the improvements in it. So now it's, I think it's pretty nice. It looks good from the outside.
It's pretty nice on the inside.
It's good on the inside, too. Then it's good. But yeah, there's that same consideration over there. I mean, that Sage Air hangar is one of the oldest hangars on the field. But I think it's a decent hangar. So I haven't been in it in a long time.
It's a nice looking hangar.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good from the outside. And we pulled out the fuel tank that was the potential environmental liability that was right next to it. So, I mean, I think the only issue with that hangar really is their sewer line.
That's right.
They have a sewer line issue, and it runs under our pavement. And every once in a while,
actually, they have a leach field behind the hangar. That's what it is.
Oh. But we occasionally have problems with that. But
yeah,
that's up. I got a quick question. If Mr. Wickersham should hypothetically now secure a 501c3 status prior to the expiration of his lease,
yes,
would that lease need to be competitively bid under the exception given a 501c3 under Article 19, I believe?
You're right. No, that's a good thought. Yes, if he were a nonprofit, then the airport authority can, without an appraisal and without public bids, can lease to that 501c3.
Once again, at the currently appraised value?
No, without an appraisal. Well, the way the law reads, we can do a discount rate to a 501c3. So, you know, whether it was, if he set up one or there were some other 501c3, you have the ability to lease actually below. Well, my advice would be don't get the appraisal at that point because you're not bound to the appraisal. Why spend the money? Exactly. And then just come up with what you think is a fair price given what this nonprofit is doing for the airport. You know, if it's a 501c3, they're probably bringing value to the airport independent of whatever they're paying in their rent.
Sure.
And so yeah. That is, that's another option. That's another option.
Going back to day one on his lease, apparently there is nothing, no stipulations in his original lease that say he will be able to renew the lease.
That's correct. That's correct. There's only one lease that I'm aware of on the airport that mentions renewal, and it does it in such a vague way that I almost think it isn't worth anything, and it's in the Mentors Unlimited lease. And it says, it has this vague language that kind of says, if the parties agree to it, the lease can be extended for 10 years. Well, you know, it's like, it's a, there's this principle in law that you can't make a deal to make a deal and enforce that somehow. Either you have a deal or you don't have a deal. And if it says, if we agree to do it, you can extend it, I really doubt whether that really is, means a whole lot. And I've told Mr. Weaver that, but of course, I think he has a very different view. But that's the only one I'm aware of on the field. And that's, again, that's another really old lease. Over the years, we've tried to replace those old leases with kind of a model lease that we developed in, I guess, the early 2000s, where we worked with the city. We came up with what we thought was a really good lease. In fact, a bunch of other airports have copied our lease because I think it's a good lease model. And as we've gotten opportunities to, we've replaced the old lease with the new lease form. We did it with El Aero. They were up to 9 addendums on one of their leases. I don't know, one of these ones over here. We consolidated them all together, put it in our lease format, and now we have a document we can work with. I mean, the old leases that are still here are Ron Kitchen's lease. That's an old lease. Well, Rhonda's, I guess, now. Ron's dead. But, and then Bob Thomas, which I guess is now really Ingrid Thomas, and the Sage Air lease. Actually, one of the El Aero leases is still old. But I think all the other leases on the airport are really our kind of modern lease format. And our modern lease format has all the correct FAA provisions, all the non-discrimination, all the assurance stuff, which not insurance, but assurance, all the stuff where we assure, we have the tenant assure to us that we can assure to the FAA that we're going to comply with all of our grant requirements. And it includes the environmental language because, you know, it used to be environmental was a big deal, and now it is. And we know that they used to drain oil out of airplane, big radial airplane engines by just pulling them over to the side, digging a hole and draining them. And, you know, those kinds of things, you know, are scary, you know, under the current environmental laws because... that's how you get Superfund sites, which are bad things to
be. Yeah, don't tell anybody about
that. They're just marking their territory, then.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Well, knock on wood, we came up clean. We came up clean on that tank over there. We came up clean on the tank that used to be right outside the windows here. And we had the city certify those for us. And so either they did a really good job and we're really clean, or it's on their ticket, not ours. You know, this is all ultimately city property. No, I think they did a pretty good job. They took dirt samples. They did what they're supposed to do.
So as long as your discharge is under 25 gallons, it's not a spill.
Is that the
rule? As long as it's not intentional, EPA is not after you.
But
it's just a discharge if it's under 25 gallons.
24 and a half is okay.
Yes. There are other airports that take a slightly different view of the statutes than we do, although none of those airports are governed by a separate statute, airport authority, that says you have this dual role between the airport authority and the city. We only have 3 airport authorities in the state. Washoe County Airport Authority, Carson City, and Battle Mountain. Everything else is operated directly by city or county.
Okay, any other questions for anybody? On to the next would be the treasurer's report, which will be me. Checking, savings, money market, and building maintenance account total $417,051.28. Total assets, including receivables and extended leases, is $581,359.46. We do have monies available, but they are the Gonzales lease and the Contry lease that still have income that are divvied up monthly. Total liabilities and equity is the same amount of money, $581,359.46. That's it.
Yeah, and the country and the Gonzales revenue is kind of phantom revenue. You know, the reason it's in there is because we gave them a prepaid 50-year lease in return for something. For country, he put in all the infrastructure along the north-south taxiway, so we were able to develop the center of the triangle. with Gonzalez, he bought the piece of property we needed for our clear space on the other side of Gonai Road and donated it to us in return for his lease. So the accountants say, because they were traded, you have to treat that revenue as coming in, you know, kind of offset it every year. So sometimes it makes us look on paper a little bit better than we should. Sometimes it makes us look worse. But
is that dollar figure just prorated on the life of the lease?
Yeah, that's how the accountants do it.
Okay, treasurer's report. We got any reports from authority members?
No reports from me.
So I had on one of my list of things to talk about tonight was the triangle. The triangle's not on the agenda this month.
That is so usually Guy Williams' item. Okay. Since he was out of town, I removed it from the.
Okay.
We'll put it on next month.
Would that be appropriate to have a short discussion about the triangle then at this point?
Well, we're not in action items. I mean, if there's something that you want to report and it's one-sided, you know, as long as it doesn't involve a discussion like you're going to decide something here, and that's where we get into trouble. So
I don't think we would decide anything, but it might create some discussion.
It might make sense for you to just kind of outline to the other board members what your concerns are, so they can be thinking about it for next month when they actually can.
But that's kind of all I was going to do.
Don't expect a response from us tonight. We'll just stare at you dumbly.
It kind of goes along with my conversation earlier about that prime piece that Cactus wants. What would the logistics and the feasibility be to move the Comstock and Silver Flight hangars to the triangle and free up that frontage piece for a more attractive development on the front of the airport?
We can't respond.
You know, I'll tell you, that is an excellent thing to think about for the next 30 days.
Now, 3 years.
And which pieces were you talking about?
Truly. I mean, he's talking about the kitchen hangers and the Thomas hangers. What if you move those to the center triangle? Because they're truly storage-only hangers, and that would free up a whole bunch of space that is adjacent to the road and adjacent to the taxiway. That would make sense for full-service FBOs or other.
And kind of tags on to the discussion we were having about leases. When is their lease up? Can we say, hey?
Is there something like that fundable?
No.
Okay.
If we had to remove them because we were moving a runway or something, then the relocation costs are reimbursable. But if we're doing it just to better utilize our land space, that is going to happen. I'll make it a point to get you guys for the next meeting the termination dates on all those leases, because I did tabulate them at one point, and I think I can find that tabulation. I don't think any of them are going to happen before like 2025, you know, something like that. I think the 2017 for Sage Air, or what's Wickersham now, was far and above the first one.
Okay. Well, if we put them on notice that we'd like them to move in 2025, they can be thinking about it.
Well, I mean, in 2025, it becomes our property, then we can do whatever we want with it. Of course, we would scratch our heads and go, would it make more financial sense to spend a bunch of money and move them or leave them where they are and either re-rent them or for a higher rate because they would be improved property, or maybe lease them ourselves? That's one other thing, too, is as long as you're thinking about things. Over the years, on several occasions, people have suggested that the Airport Authority build its own hangars. This was a big thing for Dirk Satilla and a couple other people, that we should build our own hangars and we should rent them. And I think philosophically where it's usually come down is we don't really want the Airport Authority to be in competition with our tenants. I mean, that creates a really uncomfortable situation. There are other airports where the airport actually owns the hangars and leases them out, like Truckee is a good example, and South Lake Tahoe are good examples. But we so long ago started down the path of leasing out the bare land for a long period, letting the people come in, build their structures, and recover their investment over the years. And those early people like Kitchen and Thomas, they did wonderfully. I mean, they were paying us a penny a square foot or something ridiculous when I first got involved at the airport. And even back then, they were getting $150 a month for their hangars, and so for each hangar. And so they were, they did well financially on that. I don't think, if you go down the path of us actually operating the hangars, you got to think through how that's going to impact the tenants that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it starts getting complicated. And that's one of the reasons I think we've never gotten there before. Not to say it couldn't happen. You know, smarter than people than the air out here. You know.
One of our biggest issues, if we were to do something like that, is also the return on investment. The cost of building T-hangers is right in this market right now far outweighs what we'll ever get back in revenue.
Really?
Because we were looking really good when a lot of aircraft were moving down from Reno, but that's pretty much stopped. And we have slowly hangars are starting to be occupied in the Jet Ranch area and on the north side. There's very few empty hangars now, but people aren't knocking our doors down like they used to a couple of years ago. So getting that return on investment would be tough for us to earn anything on.
The storage-only facilities are pretty much at capacity on the airport, aren't they?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we also did talk at times about moving the port hangars to the center of the triangle, but port hangars don't have really good road and outside access, so it's not like that would free up a good piece of property for, you know, an FBO or somebody like that.
Okay.
Plus, I think we want to be a little bit choosy about our FBOs only because we can't be discriminatory, but the flip side is we don't want to create a situation where we kill the FBOs that we have by bringing in more competitors than the market can support. I mean, the
right.
law of competition is you bring them all in and the strong survive and the weak fail. But we are all realists, and we've seen situations where you bring a bunch in and everybody fails. And then, of course, then you're in the worst of situations. So you know, those are all considerations you need to make.
Any more comments? Okay, public comment. I believe nobody's here, but I'll read it anyway. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on items discussed on the agenda related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. Item N, agenda items for next regular meeting. I don't believe there are any at this time.
Other than the center triangle discussion.
Okay.
That's all we have.
Okay. Item O is action on adjournment.
So moved.
I second it.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I think there won't be any. Motion is passed. We're done.
You're done. You should shut up for more. So, Tim, when you talk to Cactus,
I won't pound on the microphone.